As God's people redeemed by his blood, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. You know, true confessions here from childhood, I guess it was sort of hardwired into my personality to want to please people and to seek their approval. And I also remember back in college that got me into some trouble because it led me to overextend myself as I tried to please everyone. Not wanting to disappoint anyone, I said yes whenever I was asked by any club or organization on campus that recruited me. And this often left little time for the more important things like my studies. I remember lamenting about this problem to a close friend of mine during my college days. I told him how overwhelmed I was feeling by all the extracurricular responsibilities that I had taken upon myself. And he assured me that he had an amazingly simple solution to my problem. He said, "Mark, I'm going to add a new and very powerful little word that's missing from your vocabulary." And then, just as if he were sharing some grand discovery like gravity, he said to me, "The word you need to know is no." He said, "When they ask, just tell people no." Well, my initial reaction to that advice was, "I can't tell people no. What if I say that and then they ask me why after I tell them no?" The thought made me cringe because in those days I felt obliged to always have to explain myself to everyone. I thought my friend's advice to just say no sounded callous and even a bit cruel. And that's because, like most of you, I was raised in a culture that doesn't like to say no, and certainly doesn't like to take no for an answer. But looking back, my friend was right. There is an appropriate time and place when you can and you should be able to say no without guilt or hesitation. In fact, that was a great epiphany to me to learn the value of sometimes saying no. I know it sounds crazy, but it really took my friend to give me the permission to say no to others without the need for awkward excuses or long apologetic explanations. Now, I don't want you to think that I always say no, and neither should you. For as Christians, God often wants us to say yes, especially to our neighbor in need. But sometimes, in order to be good stewards of the life and the gifts that God has given us, we should say no to the less important things. We do this so that we can save our yeses for the truly important things that God has called us to do. You know, if you think about it, no has become a pretty seldom used word in our very permissive society. In many cases, no has almost dropped out of people's vocabulary. This is especially true in the area of social ethics. Here are some moral questions that require a no. I'll start with this one. Is it all right to have sexual intimacy outside of marriage? No. Is it all right to harbor unresolved anger against someone and to wish misfortune upon them? No. Is it all right to give up on your marriage and to stop putting any effort into it? No. Is it all right to take something that doesn't belong to you and then convince yourself that you really are entitled to it? No. Previous generations of Christians could confidently answer these moral questions, with a loud and a resounding no, based upon the moral code of the Ten Commandments. Sadly, today's secular culture no longer even acknowledges that there is any such thing as a moral absolute, a right and a wrong. And that's really problematic. For if nothing is right and nothing is wrong, then of course there is no reason left to say no. No no longer serves any purpose in an immoral culture where anything goes. In fact, in a culture like ours that is always inventing new ways of doing evil, no is perceived as a bad and a bigoted word. For you to stand up and say no to some vile behavior and to speak out against it in our culture will lead you to hear these words: how dare you tell others how to live their lives? In our godless culture, saying yes to sin is viewed as a virtue, and saying no to sin has become the vice. Because of this, even those within Christianity today are finding it harder than ever to say no to the pervasive and popular immoral practices that are going on within our culture. God intended those of us who belong to Christ to be a holy people, a light to the world, a people that would stand out as different, a people who are selfless in an age that is selfish. But too often these days, don't we Christians sometimes just want to blend into our secular surroundings without being noticed, without being different? Too often we have become like the world because we want the world to like us. And so we refuse to speak up and say no to the sin that is so prevalent in our day. Sadly, this is even happening within Christian homes. Very few people say no to their children these days, and it shows. Parents don't like to say no, and our kids don't like to hear no. But is that really enough reason not to say no when the situation warrants it? Fewer and fewer Christian parents still believe in saying no to their children. They've bought into this secular idea that if we say no to our children, we'll somehow will damage their fragile psyche. For this reason, many Christian parents think that the only appropriate way to express love in the home is always to say yes and to give in to their children on every issue. Too often, parents do what they do simply because they want their children to like them. For this reason, parents often find themselves overindulging their children in order to win their affection, instead of truly instructing them in the Christian life. Now, God certainly wants you to love your children, but you are not loving them, nor are you parenting them, if your goal is to receive your child's approval. We are only meeting our needs for love and acceptance when we only say yes to our children. For there is also a time to say no to our children as a loving and instructive act. As Christian parents, we need to regain that biblical balance between knowing when to say yes and to say no. Like God says no and yes to us in law and gospel, that we might raise good and godly children. But it's not just how we treat our children As a culture, let's face it, none of us likes to be told no. That's because as sinners, we believe that we should be able to do whatever we want to do without any outside interference. We have deceived ourselves into believing that there should be no restrictions on the way we live. No one should tell us no, not even God. But now we must look at the Ten Commandments. The commandments spell out God's good and perfect will for how we should then live. By prohibiting immoral behavior in his law and threatening even to punish transgressors of that law, isn't God in fact telling us no to some things? And isn't there great spiritual value in that? So I'd like to look at the text today and see when God says no and why. For the ancient reader, the most shocking moment in today's gospel happened when Jesus said to the Canaanite woman who came begging for a miracle cure, for when he said yes to that woman who came begging for a miracle cure for her demon-possessed daughter. But I believe for the modern reader, the most shocking moment actually occurs when Jesus says no to her. When Jesus refuses her, saying, I was sent only to the lost house of Israel. That doesn't even sound like our Jesus, does it? I thought Jesus was a humanitarian. And so how is it that this sincere woman comes to Jesus asking for mercy for her daughter, not even for herself, and Jesus says essentially no to her? And when he does it, he sounds so cold and aloof. How do you explain that? How do you explain our Lord's seemingly harsh treatment of this woman? Why does Jesus say no to her? In our culture, that's hard to understand. But you must understand that unlike many of us, God is not afraid to say no. And God is not bluffing when he says no. When God says no, he means no. Trust me. None of you wants to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and ever hear God say no to you. For if that should ever happen, there will be no appeals and nothing left to say. For God will have passed his final and eternal sentence upon you. The other thing you must understand is that God has every right to say no to sinners. And God does consistently say no to those of us in our sinful pride who believe that somehow God owes us heaven, or that we have done something better than others to deserve his love. When Jesus first addresses the Canaanite woman, he wasn't pretending. He wasn't just playing games with her when he tells her no. He was simply stating the law. What Jesus said was accurate, and it was truthful. He was only sent at that time to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In the same way, when God says no to you, it is the voice of God speaking to you in the law that you are hearing. Like the Canaanite woman, no, we are not entitled to God's love. No, we don't deserve any kind of divine leniency so that we can continue in our life of sin. And no, we should never automatically assume that God will accept us into heaven no matter how we live or what church body we belong to. But beyond God's know that is voiced in the law, the Canaanite woman understood something about God that not even the Jewish disciples understood. She believed that beyond the no, that God had a yes for her. A yes that would be expressed in the gospel. She humbly accepted the no. She knew she was unworthy to ask anything of Jesus. This was reinforced when Jesus refused a request, again saying, "It's not right to take the children's bread and just to throw it out to the dogs." And let me tell you, she knew that was a veiled reference. She knew what that meant. Because the Jews looked upon the Canaanites in a very derogatory way, as if they were subhuman, as if they were merely dogs. She could have lashed out in pride about that, or she could have sulked away in despair. But instead, she had faith that even though she deserved a no from God, through Christ, she was confident that she would still hear a yes. And Jesus was so immensely pleased that this foreign woman, who had less advantage to have access to the scriptures, accepted the no that is found in the law, and yet appealed to God's mercy and looked for a yes, because she believed the gospel. Likewise, God wants you to accept both his no and his yes. For God has the power both to save you or to destroy you. And you need to take God seriously when he says no to you in his law. For no, he does not want you to live like the world lives, but as obedient children. And no, he does not want you just to assume that you are saved. For God is under no obligation and no compulsion to save sinners. And yet, yes, God will save you. And in a very real sense, God has saved you through the mercy that we see demonstrated on the cross. My friends in Christ, this is faith. To know that God will always say yes, that God will always accept you when you come to him, trusting that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses you from all sin. As often as you exalt yourselves, God is going to humble you. And he is going to tell you no, that you do not deserve his love. But like the Canaanite woman, as often as you humble yourselves, God is going to exalt you in Christ. For by trusting in Jesus Christ, my friends, you can always expect, beyond the initial no, to hear God's yes, and to know with certainty of heart that you indeed have God's love for all eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith. Amen.